didn't show me anything. You start. All right, I'll
You're
get started.
live.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Hot in the Igloo. I'm your host, Paul Gunnis, alongside Ethan Estrada, Forrest Hunt, bringing you another week of quarantine sports fun here on radio.dominican.edu, where you can get everything Penguin Sports and beyond. Guys, been a whole 3 weeks since we've been doing this show, and what, over a month in quarantine. How are you guys doing? How's life? What's new? Have we discovered any new hobbies being indoors, or more of the same old, same old? And I mean, how's it going? Tell me, what's the scoop?
Well, today's day 30 since they announced not the shelter at home, but you know, since all this is gone down and they've started issuing shelter in place types of deals. So day 30, it's been a month, feels like it's been a year for me. You doing more push-ups and sit-ups, I think, at home?
I'm doing a lot of fork-ups personally, but that's
fork-ups. yeah, that's, fork-ups are good. No, I just came up with the idea today to paint my cornhole set that I have. So we have a cornhole set, and it's made out of wood. It's just wood, you know, there's no design or anything on it. It's not plastic. So that might be my next project, you know, find a logo or a design or something and go ahead and paint my cornhole set. You know, that's sports related, right? Cornhole, they have national cornhole tournaments and stuff, don't they? So,
well, you know, actually it's funny you mentioned that. I have a couple friends that their dads are in cornhole, like online cornhole tournaments now. Like they all have cornhole setups and they're like playing cornhole from, you know, from home and videoing it, I guess, competition or whatever. Not my thing, but if it's your thing, I'm for it, Forrest. So keep us posted. Maybe we'll get some live coverage.
Yeah, I just figured, you know, it'd probably take a couple of days, you know, to paint the base of it, to, you know, paint it a white primer or something. And then find a logo and stencil it out and paint it over the top. I don't know, dude. I'm at the point where, you know, I might go out and, you know, we have some bricks in the backyard as a barrier for like a garden. You know, I might go move bricks around and just take them to other parts of the backyard and then put them back or something.
Well, of course, that's what we call on our way to not being okay. I'm just kidding. Anyways, Ethan, how about you? Any new hobbies that you've picked up in the free time?
We ordered a Wii Sports again for the Nintendo Wii, so we've been playing a lot of
another
Wii
thing
Sports.
We can do live scoring on. This is great.
Yeah, Wii Sports. Do live coverage of Wii Sports. Scored a 267 in Wii Bowling.
Wow. That's pretty good.
I've gotten really good. There's I've no gotten way. Really good at Wii Bowling. If I bowl as good as I do on the Wii, I'd be making money.
I love the Wii Baseball. Wii Baseball's fun.
Oh, I'm terrible at Wii Baseball.
Oh, I think it's my favorite. Terrible. It's my favorite game of all.
I lost the game 12-10 on a walk-off. That was frustrating.
That's a high-scoring Wii Baseball game, man.
Yeah, I did really good, but the problem is they did better.
Well, guys, I want to talk a little bit. We're going to go over a lot of information today. First off, our thoughts on Florida and their sports situation. They have declared sports an essential job, which basically means that, and I don't think it means necessarily professional sports are going to come back right away, but it could mean that front office jobs, people of that nature can start going back into the office again. And I just don't know if that's a good idea. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. Do you think it's a good idea for the nation as a whole to follow Florida's lead? Or do you think Florida is going to end up regretting this decision, prolong maybe the cases and the damage that COVID-19 could possibly do to the area?
I think, well, you have to take a CDC, you know, you have to do what the CDC says, you know. If they say it's okay, then maybe you try and take that step, but they have to okay it, you know, and if it's too much of a hazard, the federal government's going to shut it down. So, I mean, Florida can declare it, I think, essential, but I don't think they can just do whatever they want.
Yeah, and of course, Florida's been one of the most notorious states that has done less than good job handling this whole coronavirus situation. So them making sports essential, although it gives us some entertainment, I don't think it's a smart decision. But in terms of it already being set, I think this is bodes well for Major League Baseball and their plan of having the spring training stadiums half and half, the teams that play in Florida play in Florida, teams that play in Arizona play in Arizona. So I think that bodes well for baseball that one of the states that they're planning for has already okayed it. Now it just have to wait on the players agreeing to it, which there's news on that, and the state of Arizona. So see how that goes.
Okay. Well, my personal opinion on the whole thing is it would be idiotic if they were to come back before the recommendations of even President Trump, who has historically been pushing for the economy to get back open. Even he is saying it's not time yet, you know. So I think it would be not the smartest decision. That's my personal opinion. You guys, there's actually one thing I really wanted to get into before we talk about baseball. We'll spend the second half of the show really discussing the baseball topic. What did you guys think about this NASCAR driver? Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, I heard something about Marcus Stroman wanting to set up a charity event to fight, I think it was Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson, he was an up-and-coming star. He was projected to be, like, the next Jeff Gordon.
Yeah, he started in sprint car racing, actually, I think. All I heard is that Marcus, he used a racial slur online. And I don't know if he was playing with Marcus Stroman, if they were online in a lobby together, what game they were playing or whatever, or if it was just a racial slur, you know, broadly used, or if it was directed at Stroman. But he wants to set up a UFC-style fight for charity.
It was he used the N-word.
Right, but in what setting? In no setting is it okay? But in were they in a chat? You know, were they playing an online game?
I think he said something like, "Can you N-words hear me?" or something like that. It wasn't like, you know, you're such a, you know, whatever.
It wasn't directed at Stroman.
I think it was like just in general, like he just said, like, "Can you N-words hear me?" instead of saying, "Can you guys hear me?" or "Can anybody hear me?" or other word in the English dictionary that wasn't a racial slur you could have used for that.
I don't know. Stroman obviously, and everybody should take some sort of offense to that, but Stroman wants to set up a UFC style fight to raise money for charity.
I don't know about that. I know this guy's probably never going to get a job again. It looks like he ruined his life with this decision. I mean, they fired him from his racing team, and NASCAR is probably one of the most right-wing, conservative, you know, redneck sports out there, and yet they're still not okay with it because we live in the 21st century. We live in time, you know, it's 2020. It's time to stop, you know, being racist and start realizing that human beings are human beings. I mean, I thought that was sort of understood. But, you know, it's shocking how people just fail to realize the significance of their words, especially being in a place of power as a professional athlete. You know, I was a big proponent of people, you know, not saying racial slurs. Even if it's okay, since it's your race, you know, like, for example, like Italians will use, you know, racial slurs all the time. I'm Italian. And it happens, but like, you know, when I say racial slurs, like they'll say like, "Oh, you're such a guap," or "You're such a, you know, whatever it is, Italian, you know, grease ball," or something. I just don't find it okay.
Well, here's apparently Kyle Larson was streaming a virtual race, you know, whether that is, I don't know what, it doesn't say what game, but he used it while he was racing. And apparently he has been suspended indefinitely without pay because of his poor choice of words. So
yeah,
I think we should get off that. What do you think about the Marcus Stroman's response and the charity and the fight and that sort of angle that he's taking?
I mean, I appreciate him like not trying to like still taking it serious, but at the same time trying to be like mature about the whole situation. You know, but obviously it's all about setting an example, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we fix this problem as a society?
Well, is it a correct response, you think, from Stroman to say, "Oh, he shouldn't say that. I'm going to go fight him." Is that the kind of example that we want?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. You know, I appreciate him like trying to be, "Oh, it's raised for charity," but it's still the principle of like, you said something mean, so now I'm going to fight you, which isn't teaching like the next generation, in my opinion, a good lesson. I don't know. Ethan, you look like you have something to say.
I'm trying to formulate my words. So I want to tread very carefully as the only brown person in this conversation.
I mean.
And what he said was wrong and completely unacceptable, but I think the way that Strowman is going about it is not right. Although he has the right idea behind it in terms of not to keeping the funds for himself, you're trying to vilify the guy already much more than what he already is. And that'll just cause more of a divide because you know there's going to be people standing in his corner no matter what he said. And that's not what we need right now at all. This does not help any cause, no matter how much good you think is backing it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. We don't want to promote divisiveness. But from the other side, though, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that would want to see this guy get punched in the face for saying those words. So
definitely.
You know,
I mean, when you look at it, though, he's a NASCAR driver. I don't know anything about Kyle Larson or his background, you know, or what is how much education he's gone through. But, you know, that was that guy's livelihood. You know, he was a NASCAR driver. That was his main source of income. And now he's going to go have to figure out how to do something else. Not that he's not going to be able to, but, you know, his life's completely changed.
So you see there's like, in your opinion, there's no way he comes back from this.
Like you said, it's 2020. And organizations like Major League Baseball, NASCAR, you know, anything like that, they're trying to take steps in the right direction to make sure things like this don't happen. So, no, I don't see any reason for NASCAR. I mean, he's been suspended indefinitely without pay. You know, we saw this with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph, how Myles Garrett was suspended indefinitely without pay, and then the NFL kind of eased up on him. But I feel like the NFL maybe has a reputation of being easy as far as, you know, punishment goes.
But I mean, I don't know. They kind of ruined Ray. I mean, Ray Rice, the old Ray Rice situation, he never came back from that. So,
well, you know, when that's, you know, again, he said, she said versus physically abusing somebody on camera. I know Myles Garrett hit him with a helmet and all that kind of stuff. But no, as far as Kyle Larson goes, you know, I don't necessarily see NASCAR bringing him back. Not right away. So, you know, this guy makes his money racing cars, and he's not going to be able to do that. You know, and like you said, you know, he's already public enemy number one now on the NASCAR scene. So,
my thing, really, too, is like you're about to have the breakthrough of your career. You know, you're on the uptrend, and then you ruin your whole life because you know, want to seem cool and say words that are just, you know, and I'm sure he didn't even mean to say it. You know what I mean? Like, it just slipped out, which means he probably uses it all the time in his day-to-day life, you know, which is just unacceptable, in my opinion, for people to be using these types of terminologies that are just not socially acceptable and, you know, are wrong. So I hope from a viewer, from a fan standpoint, that NASCAR takes this very seriously and doesn't allow the situation to worsen or get any further. Moving along here, I want to talk a little bit about, I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the Chicago Bulls have like completely cleaned house, get rid of everybody. And I, you know, I want to talk about sort of this historic franchise. It was the first time, I think, in their history that they ever cleaned house completely. I sort of just want to talk about, you know, when you talk about the Chicago Bulls, everybody thinks Michael Jordan. Everybody thinks, you know, the greatest NBA team of all time, debatably. You know, now the Warriors, everybody debates between, you know,
Celtics,
what was it? The 16 Warriors versus the 84 Bulls. I don't know. Anyways, how did the Bulls, right, get back to the glory days? I mean, the Lakers, it took them a couple years, right? You know, the Lakers went through a 3-year slump and now they're coming back. What do the Bulls have to do? Is there a way that the Bulls come back, or are they just going to turn into, you know, the Cleveland Browns of the NBA? Like, you know, how many years can they hide behind rebuild? Right. And I think the ownership realized that and they fired everybody. But, you know, as an NBA fan, you want to see the Bulls be good, right? They're one of the major cities, just like you want to see the Knicks be good.
right? I would say that I don't think the Bulls could ever be the Browns of the NBA because, like I said, the Knicks are probably the Bulls of the – I mean, the Browns of the NBA. But the Bulls are right there with them. I mean, they're struggling every year. They're having a losing record. How do you think an NBA franchise with that much, you know, history behind it and that much success in its past gets back to those days and gets back to being a championship team?
I think they need to take a page out of the book of the Chicago Cubs. They need to, right in the same city, and how the Cubs handled their rebuild. They brought in somebody who was smart when it came to drafting, and that's how the Cubs came back, was by drafting top prospects like Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber, and then also making some smaller trades that helped you get back in it, like trading for Anthony Rizzo. So that's just finding someone who could press the right buttons under the radar. You don't want to make those big splashy moves, because those big splashy moves that give people a ton of hope. So when you start, so when you're in the middle of a rebuild and you give them that little glimpse of hope, they're going to expect greatness when greatness is not in the cards. So I think they need to dampen people's expectations and then just go with the process that they have in mind.
Okay. Forrest, your thoughts?
I mean, sports are cyclical, right? It'll come. It just depends on, you know, you're talking about winning an NBA championship, or you're talking about just being competitive. You know, I don't think it takes much to just be competitive. But, you know, just to use Ethan's analogy, the Cubs waited 108 years or whatever. You know, I mean, is it going to happen in your lifetime? I don't know. You know, that's the thing about sports, is you don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't have any control over what goes on. You can build the greatest team ever and still, you know, come up short. So, I mean, it's just a matter of being competitive.
I mean, yeah, my opinion on it is just, I, as a fan of the NBA, as a big fan of the NBA, you want to see the historic franchises be good because you grew up on it. Or for me, you know, I always heard about the Bulls being this great team, and we saw a little bit of it with like young Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose when he was, before he had the injury problems, but we never really got a taste of, like, you know, the Bulls winning a championship or the Bulls contending for a championship. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if what teams in the next couple of years, because, you know, LeBron's getting up there in age. So, you know, is Anthony Davis going to stay a Laker? I don't know. What teams are going to get the balance? You know, Brooklyn looks like they might be good in the next couple of years. So hopefully, as an NBA fan, you want to see a more equal playing field than, you know, the last like 4 or 5 years before this year were so miserable as a fan, in my opinion, right? You just had, it was the Lakers, or excuse me, not the Lakers, the Warriors versus the Cavs every single year. And it just was like, this is getting so old. It's so boring. The East is awful. And the only good player in the East is LeBron, pretty much. And he just carries the Cavs to the NBA Finals. And then the Warriors are just the best team in the world. And they have three of the best players in the world. And it's not entertaining to watch, you know. It's just not. So, you know, I'm happy that we see a little bit more of a balance. But what's going to happen these next 3 to 5 years? And, you know, how is the NBA going to shape out? It's going to be fun to watch. That's if we ever see the NBA play again. But, you know, optimistic thinking, I think that's going to be sooner than later. So, guys, let's – I know we're dying to talk about baseball. There's one thing I wanted to mention about baseball real quick. George Steinbrenner's son, the eldest son that was in charge of the Yankees since George passed away in 2012, I want to say. Hank Steinbrenner passed away yesterday at 63 years old from complications. They didn't say what it was from. They just said medical complications that he's had for a long time. What do you guys think about ownership when it comes to any professional franchise that's like a family-owned business? Like the Steinbrenners have this historic, you know, imprint on the Yankee organization, right? 7 championships, I think it's been with them as the owners. What do you get? Or like the Buss family with the Lakers, same type of thing, multiple championships. So what do you guys think about it being a family owned versus like a corporate thing where an investment group comes in and there's 20 people that run it? I mean, there's two sides of the story, right? You have major successes and then you have Jerry Jones. What do you guys think about, do you prefer a corporate owned organization or do you think it's better if it's a family owned organization?
I think family owned is actually really cool because especially in the NFL, you have a lot of teams that are still owned by the original families, like the Hunt family who owned the Kansas City Chiefs. In the AFC Championship game, Lamar Hunt got to hold up the trophy named after his – no, Clark Hunt got to name the trophy named after his dad, which is something really cool that you could only see in a sport like football. And then you also have the Rooneys who own the Steelers, the Maras that own the Giants, the Hallis family that owns the Bears, the Ford family owns the Tigers. It's just legacy that builds to the history of the sport. And I think that's what the Steinbrenners brought to baseball because there really isn't that kind of establishment for baseball. I think they're the last one for baseball to own the team pretty much almost for a large chunk of the team's history. And I think that adds a lot to the sport itself.
I think it goes two ways. I think the fact that you were talking about that it's owned by a family is cool. But I think also with family owned, do you get too emotionally attached? You know, you own the team, you're not the GM, you're not making the decisions, but, you know, is there too much attachment there with a family-owned team? You look at the Baltimore Orioles, who are owned by the Angelos family. Peter Angelos just handed it down to his son to be the, you know, the representative owner a couple of years ago. But, you know, the Orioles had been wanting to get rid of Manny Machado for a long time, and Peter Angelos kept saying, no, 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 we're not going to get rid of our biggest ticket item, even though with or without Machado, they're going to be the worst team, one of the worst teams in baseball. So I don't really see that happening with a team like or teams that are corporate-owned. You know, they kind of just they supply the money, they hand it over to the GM and the president of baseball operations, and they let the baseball people handle the baseball decisions, and they handle the money because that's what you are when you're an owner. You handle – your job is to handle the money. That's why you hire the GMs and those kinds of – and people in those positions. So it is cool, but I think sometimes, you know, you get too emotionally attached and, you know, all things said and done, a lot of the times the owners have the final call. So if you're there every single day in the owner box, that's definitely a cool thing like Jerry Jones is, but was he too attached to Tony Romo or somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, Jason Garrett.
Exactly. So that's where I think you can run into some complications.
And I think the least successful in terms – well, transition from father to son or father to daughter in some cases for the NFL was Al Davis to Mark Davis. Oh, my goodness. That is one of the – because Al Davis, don't get me wrong, he was a football genius in the first half of the NFL's history. But after they won that last Super Bowl in 83, something just happened. And Oakland has been a mess ever since. So I think the Raiders are probably one of those teams that probably shouldn't have stayed in the family because you look at what Mark Davis has done. I don't think he knows what he's doing.
I don't know, man. I think if what was it, 2001 or 2002? 02. Yeah, 02, if that ball is, you know, the tuck rule that they created wasn't called, then they have a Super Bowl that year. So, in my opinion, I think they go on to win the Super Bowl that year. So,
yeah, Al Davis, he knew his football, but Mark Davis is a completely different story. I think he's just going after the shiny toys and hoping that it works.
I think it was smart for him to – yeah, I would argue that Mark Davis almost – loosens the reins compared to some of the family-owned owners, like especially now that he has Jon Gruden there. He's very like trusting Gruden. I think he's letting Gruden run the show, and I don't know how well Gruden's running the show at the moment,
but that's a different discussion. Last time Gruden was there, they had success. That might be something too, is maybe a little bit of false confidence.
Right. I mean, I think Jack Del Rio didn't do that bad of a job. He was fighting for playoff contention every year, and then they just fired the guy because Gruden says he'll come back. That probably wasn't the smartest decision, but
then you hire a TV draft analyst to become your general manager and then give him no power because Gruden's also the general manager.
Yeah. So, what I mean,
Mike Mayock even do?
Exactly.
They work together.
PC.
I think they work together, and I think he gets a big paycheck. So I don't think it was the worst decision in the world. I think Mark Davis, I think you're going to be surprised by what the Raiders end up doing when they come to Las Vegas. I think that they needed, in both Mayock and Gruden's opinion, they needed to sort of tank these last 2 years and rebuild, stop paying people. They wanted to avoid the Manny Machado situation that you're talking about with the Orioles, right? They don't want to pay big paychecks and get nothing in return. And I think that they're sort of stocking up for this big push in this draft and then in this next couple years of free agency to really stock up on a good roster. I think the Raiders could be really good in the next couple of years. But we'll see what happens. That being said, my personal opinion on the whole corporate versus family-owned thing is I look at it from two different perspectives, right? If I worked for the team, if I was an employee for a team, I think personally I would want it to be corporate, right? Because they were going to be hands-off. It's going to be my team. If I was a general manager, it'd be my team. As, if I was – the other side of that is imagine being an owner, right? And if your family has owned the thing, you don't think you want to be involved in whatever it is, whether it's a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team. Whether that means, you hire somebody that's really smart and you let them really have control, but you're just there to be involved in day-to-day decisions just because you love the sport and you want to hang out. I think that'd be a dream come true, right? I mean.
Well, I think that goes back to the Jerry Jones and what's his face? The head coach, Jason Garrett. Is that if you are working for that team that in a front office role of any sort, if you develop any sort of personal relationship with the owner, if it's family owned, short of, selling the team off, you might have a job for life. Whether, on the other side of that, if it's corporate, they don't care who you are or who you know or what you've done. If you're not doing what they want you to do, you can't. So I think that could be an upside.
And also what hurts the Cowboy situation is that Jerry Jones is the general manager. He is the owner. He's the general manager. And that's why he clinged on to Jason Garrett so much, because he was a Cowboy organization product. He was the backup quarterback in the 90s. He was the offensive coordinator in the late 2000s, and he was the head coach in the 2010s. He was Cowboy through and through, and that was that pride that had taken over from him producing a person who could handle a job like that when obviously he couldn't.
Yeah, obviously Jason Garrett didn't do a good job. But I think that's more of a Jerry Jones thing, right? Like, it's very Jerry Jones specific. It's not necessarily a family-owned thing. And I think that you can see, especially now, right, Jim Buss versus Jeannie Buss is a very good example, right? Jim Buss wanted to be like Jerry Jones for the Lakers. Lakers stunk. He quit. Or he was forced to quit. Jeannie Buss takes over, different story. Let's, general manager run the program. She just owns the team.
I think Jerry Jones is in a different category when we're talking corporate versus family owned.
He's just nuts.
He's in the Al Davis territory, because Al Davis was the same thing. He was owner, general manager.
But Al Davis was a football mind. Jerry Jones is an oil man. Yeah, there's difference, in my opinion.
And then it's when Jerry Jones was paired with a football mind like Jimmy Johnson that he had success in the 90s. It was that success that he wants to try to get back to, but he needs that football mind next to him.
Right. I think he needs somebody that doesn't have an ego, because he wants all the credit, We'll see. I don't think Tony Romo wants the job, dude. I think he's kind of sick of Jerry Jones.
I don't think anybody wants the job.
I always say to my dad, if I was a football coach, right, if I was the best football coach in the world, right, and Jerry Jones asked me to be the coach of the Cowboys, I say, okay, here's the deal. I'll be the coach, but you sit there and shut up. That's the deal.
You know? Oh, and then there's also a third option when it comes to ownership. You got the Green Bay Packers mold, where you're not even owned by a person. You're owned by the city.
Yeah, I mean, I think I sort of look at that as like corporate, because like what, the fans are not going to really have a say on what happens to the team.
No, they actually elect an official to hold the position of owner of the Packers, or the CEO of the Green Bay Packers.
You can buy stock. You can buy into it or whatever.
That'd be sick.
Become a part owner. The problem is it'll never, ever get above 49% for the general population to own the Packers.
Yeah. Well, all right, boys. I know you guys are ear keen to talk about it. Let's talk about Major League Baseball. And I want to start out with, I don't know if you guys saw this story, but the Major League Baseball players and team employees will be part of a virus study conducted by Stanford to further research to really understand how widespread this disease is and whether or not it's a smart idea for Major League Baseball to come back. What do you guys think about Major League Baseball stepping up to be test products of this this test?
I think this shows that they really want to play this year, that they're not going to give up. They're going to try everything they can.
Yeah, well, sure, they really want to play. I mean, they don't want to lose money.
That's money.
But, yeah.
But yeah, but – and then it said it'll be a 10,000 person test conducted from coast to coast to try to see not only how widespread the virus is, but also how the antibodies function and how they could isolate that. So it's a very deep study, but also, like we've been taught in all our communications classes, the findings are probably going to skew towards what baseball wants, because they're providing all the funding. You got to see where the money goes. So I don't know how accurate or how believable this study will be at the end of the day.
That's true. You know, sports as a whole, they don't want to lose money. So they're going to find any way they can to hop back in the ring, if you will. And I just hope they don't put players and, you know, team employees at risk by rushing into something that's not safe. Forrest, I'm interested to hear your perspective on this, considering you are a team employee. What do you think? Are you nervous about this whole thing? Are you excited to maybe get back to work eventually, you know, sometime in the near future? What does you?
Yeah, man. I mean, it sucks for sure. You know, not only is there no baseball on, or you can't go to a game, you know, but like you said, you know, that's my, until October, my main source of income. So, yeah, I mean, having to deal with this and being confused on if and when you're going to get paid at all. You know, they said Major League Baseball was putting aside $1 million per team to pay the salary for employees that working there is the main source of income, and I fall into that category. So it's been interesting. You know, I mean, I don't have anything for you guys. I don't have any inside information if people are getting paid or anything like that. But yeah, it sucks, dude, because you think for over the next – whatever amount of months, you know, 80 times, you know, for 80 days, I'm supposed to be at the stadium. So it's been interesting. I'm still waiting to hear more about how Major League Baseball is going to compensate employees. That's the big thing for me. But as far as being at the stadium, you know, of course, you know, you want to get out and you want to go do things, you know, but I want to get out and go to the store, but I won't, because trying to do what I'm told, trying to stay home and stay safe and healthy and all that kind of stuff. But as far as bringing people into a stadium right now, if they were to just open baseball right now, I'd be a little, I don't want to say scared, but a little bit cautious about going to work if there were games right now, because you don't know who's.
Well, you know, that's sort of my follow-up question to your comment is, like, what do you think the worst case scenario is for Major League Baseball right now? Like, if they come back, and let's just say people start getting sick and they have to shut down, you know, and that in after 2 weeks, do you think that that is worse, or than just not opening up, or do you think it's the same result because you're not going to
play anymore? Well, I think worst case scenario right now is there's no season. But worst case scenario, if you open things up, like you said, is the fact that it spreads, you know, and there's a correlation with people going to baseball games and employees getting sick and that kind of thing, and then having to shut it down. I think that would just that would be more heartbreaking than not having a season, I think, is getting it started for 2 weeks, a month, or whatever, than having to shut it down. Because it gives you a sense of false hope, you know?
Yeah. My opinion is, like, until they bring golf back, they can't really bring any other sport back, in my opinion. And that's just not because I'm a golfer. That's because golf is the least contact sport. The only way golfers get sick is by traveling. You know, that's the only reason they haven't brought golf back already.
Golf is the only leisure activity you could do there for about a week and a half because it didn't involve, you know, everything was closed but the golf courses. And
well, now everything's closed, period, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's as an employee, you're itching to get back, but at the same time, you know, I think it would be worse if you started up again than have to stop.
Definitely. All right, boys. Well, I want to wrap today's show up with a little bit of fun, like we like to do. Let's talk about our dream lineup, okay? You can have we're going to do one for baseball, we're going to do one for football, and we'll do one for basketball to start out with, and maybe we'll go to like golf or something like that. Let's start with baseball. You get one pitcher, you get one fielder, and you get one batter.
Oh, I thought we were going full lineup. Oh.
I think I got mine for so one pitcher, one infielder, one outfielder.
One pitcher, one hitter, like best, like just for hitting ability, and then one fielding ability.
Oh, so you're just saying who do we think is the best fielder, best pitcher, and best hitter? Just ever?
Yeah. Period, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go.
Ooh, I got to rethink mine now because I had pitcher, infielder, outfielder. I had that all set.
All right, I'll go first. I got Sandy Koufax pitching. I got Barry Bonds hitting. And I probably have – oh, my gosh, I'm forgetting who I wanted to choose. Adam Jones? Who was the guy that was a center fielder? He was really like –
For the Orioles?
He was originally on the he was on the Dodgers. He was on the Orioles. He was a travelman. Is that who I'm thinking of?
Adam Jones did play for the Orioles, but
or what's that guy that played for the Indians? He was a real good fielder, center fielder, maybe like 10 years ago.
Sizemore.
Grady Sizemore. Was he a good fielder? I'm not that good at baseball, guys, listeners. I thought the guy's name was Jones. He won like 3 Golden Gloves. But he just couldn't hit for
I mean, yeah, maybe Barry Bonds won like 17.
What's that?
Didn't Barry Bonds win 17 Gold Gloves?
And he couldn't field to save his life.
Or 8. It was one of the two. I'm stuck on pitcher, man.
I got Koufax too.
Yeah, I mean, I was debating between Koufax and Randy Johnson, right?
Oh, Randy Johnson's a good pick.
Yeah, he was really good. Hit lefty, got the mustache, get up there.
All right, well, okay, so you're going – are we just going to go by position or are we going to go each person?
One pitcher, one fielder.
All right, so who are your three? Bonds, Koufax, and who?
Well, if
– and that one guy.
If Ethan wants Koufax, I'll take Randy Johnson. I'll take Randy Johnson.
Okay.
That one guy and Barry Bonds.
Well, you know what? You know what? I'll change it. I'll take Randy Johnson. I'll take Barry Bonds, and I'll take DiMaggio.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, mine would be Sandy Koufax. Omar Vizquel is the best fielder, and I'm just gonna go with the hit king flat out. Pete Rose is the best hitter of all time.
That's where you're wrong, son.
He's the best hustler of all time. I don't know about best hitter.
Okay. I'm going to start with fielder since Ethan took mine. I'm going to go with the wizard, Ozzie Smith, best fielder of all time. It's kind of hard for outfielders, you know? It's kind of hard to put an outfielder as the best fielder of all time.
Yeah, I went with the outfielder.
Best hitter of all time when all said and done is going to be Mike Trout, mark my words. But – right now, greatest hitter.
Big prediction. He's like the 3-time consecutive MVP. Like, Steph Curry's gonna be the best shooter.
Single greatest hitter of all time is Tony Gwynn, and you can't.
Forgot about him.
You know what else I forgot about? Ken Griffey Jr. He was pretty good.
Oh yeah, dang. Now I feel bad.
Tony Gwynn is the greatest hitter of all time.
All right, now we're gonna go basketball.
greatest pitcher. No, I got a pitcher.
Oh, you didn't pitcher. You didn't pitcher yet. Okay, my bad.
Of all time is Nolan Ryan.
Ooh, Nolan Ryan's a good pick.
Three good lineups.
Yeah. All right, solid. All right, now we're going to go basketball. We're going to go best shooter, okay? Best player, like overall player, and best defender.
Okay.
All right, I'll go first. Defender, Bill Russell. They call him Secretary of Defense. Best overall player, I'm probably gonna go with LeBron. Ugh, it's the LeBron or Michael Jordan, just two kind of different players. Best shooter, Curry. Right? I mean, you gotta go Curry. Except, you know, what my honorable mention for best shooter, Ray Allen.
That's my best shooter. I'm gonna take Ray Allen.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah, Ray Allen. Best player, you could throw Magic in there for best player too.
Whoever you don't,
there's a lot of guys. You throw.
I'm taking up the scraps from your guys' lists because.
What about Bird? You got Larry Bird.
Yeah, I got Bird. Best player. I'm gonna take LeBron too.
Wait, who'd you say best defender?
I haven't gotten there yet. Best defender, I think I'm gonna take Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay. You know who I'm forgetting about too? You really go with before we get to Ethan, really go for best. I don't know where you put him. Probably player, Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, I mean, only guy to ever score 100 points in a game.
Right?
I don't know. All right, let's hear it. We haven't heard Kobe Bryant's name yet, Ethan. That's a good one. Go for it.
Hey, Kobe, and Kobe. It's my three.
He sucked at defense.
He's a good defender.
Hey, you can play defense if you needed to. Like playoffs, you play defense.
Here, I'll have Michael Jordan as the best player and Kobe as the other two.
All right, sounds good.
That'll work for me.
All right, now let's move on to NFL. We'll go best defensive player, best quarterback, and best offensive player. And best kicker. We'll throw the kicker in there, too.
Okay.
Defensive, kicker?
Quarterback and kicker. So, like, offensive player can't be quarterback.
Okay,
that's not a quarterback.
Because I'm a Colts fan, diehard, bleed blue, everything, Peyton Manning, best quarterback, even though I completely respect Tom Brady's accolades and career achievements. I'm not one of those people who will downright burn him to the ground. Best offensive player, Jerry Rice. He's probably the best player to ever step foot on a football field. For me, my most entertaining defensive player to watch highlights of was Reggie White when he played for the Green Bay Packers. It was just something completely different. He was a man amongst boys playing on the defensive line. And best kicker is the GOAT, Adam Vinatieri, even though he went out on a whimper.
Sounds good. All right, now let's hear it from the Forrest Hunt.
All right, best defensive player. I'm going to go with the original LT. Lawrence Taylor,
Tomlinson.
Best offensive player. Yeah, I'm gonna go. You know, not necessarily offensive, but Devin Hester.
Okay, that works. That's all.
Special teams guru. Best kicker of all time. Shoot, man, I can only name like four kickers.
Let's name one of the four.
Can we go punter?
Go for it.
Shane Leckler was a pretty good punter in his day. Shane Leckler. Quarterback, we got to take my boy, Montana.
Oh, Brady Quinn?
No, Montana.
Brady Quinn, got it.
Montana. Brady Quinn.
All right, well, I guess I'll go with Tom Brady for best quarterback since neither of you guys took him, and that'd just be disrespectful. I didn't say Tom Brady was best quarterback of all time. Kicker, I'm going to go with Justin Tucker.
He's
really good. Doesn't miss inside 60 yards.
Surprised nobody took Janikowski.
What's that?
Janikowski.
Oh, Janikowski.
He was all power over
He wasn't a great kicker. He just was a fun guy to watch.
It was like he'd be smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer while getting wound up to kick.
Smoking a stogie. Let's see. Then defensive player. I'm going to go Brandon Dawkins. Safety. It's really good. I think it was five-time All-Star? I don't know. Anyways. Dawkins, really good safety. And then what am I missing? Offensive player? I think I'm going to go with Jim Brown.
Classic pick. Options that weren't taken. Randy Moss wasn't taken.
Oof, Randy Moss is a good receiver.
Yeah. Double up, you know, with the Jerry Rice thing. I mean, God.
Yeah. Barry Sanders wasn't taken. Walter Payton.
Oh, you know, I'm changing my defensive. Deion Sanders.
Oh,
prime time, baby. Prime time.
Oh,
all right. Well, I think, boys, we're going to have to wait another week to keep this conversation going. For all our listeners out there, this was Hot in the Igloo. We give you everything Dominican sports and beyond every Tuesday. Find us on radio.dominican.edu. If you're listening, then you know where to find us on the podcast or on the saved files. And we appreciate all the listeners out there listening to us in these scary times. Stay safe out there, everybody. Hope to see you out there at a sporting event soon. Good night, everybody.